This morning, we gave you your status before salvation. My status before I got saved, I was lost. I had the wrath of God abiding on me. I was spiritually dead in my sins. I was a servant to sin, and I was headed for the lake of fire, and my father was the devil. That's the way it was. Before I was saved and before you were saved, that is a description of you. But after you got saved, after you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you received Jesus, you became His child. You believed Jesus was who He said He was. You trusted Him alone. You trusted Him alone to forgive you and save you. You believed in your heart. You asked Him with your mouth. And we gave you some promises from the Word of God. I gave you some reasons why the Word of God's reliable, and I gave you a bunch of verses about that. I'm not going to repeat them tonight because we spent the time this morning doing that, but I do want you to look at 1 John chapter 5, if you would. 1 John chapter 5, that's where we will start again this evening. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? Now, you can know that you're saved because somebody told you that you're saved. You can know that you're saved because you did what somebody said you needed to do in order to be saved, or you can know that you're saved based on the Word of God and the promises of God. And that's what you want. If somebody says to you, well, you're saved because you said a prayer when you were younger. Maybe you did say a prayer when you were younger. Maybe you did get saved when you were younger. But you need to be able to base your salvation on something besides just somebody telling you, yeah, you're saved because I remember it. You need to be able to base your salvation on more than just you saying, I said a prayer and got saved. I don't remember the date that I got saved. I remember that it was on a Saturday. And I remember I was 5 years old. I remember a little bit of the details about it. And I've told you this before. I was in my parents' den and we were sitting. I believe it was a green couch. My dad asked me if I wanted to be saved and I got saved at that point. I don't remember a whole lot more details about it. I don't remember the date. I don't remember what time of year it was. But I don't have to trust in remembering those things to give me the assurance of my salvation. The assurance I have that I'm saved isn't based on me remembering that. The assurance that I have is based on the Word of God, and I want you to have that assurance. I spent a lot of time doubting. Really, I did. I doubted my salvation quite a bit as I was growing up. I'm hoping that as you see the promises of God in the Bible, you see the verses, you see the words of God, it will help you to have assurance. We mentioned this morning, and we're going to jump back into the message tonight. Assurance doesn't change. The fact that I am saved, I have eternal security, that doesn't change. Whether I feel like I'm saved today or not, whether I feel like I'm being a good Christian today or not, the fact that I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I put my faith in Him, I am saved, that doesn't change. Now, my feelings do change. Your feelings are going to change. Some days you're going to feel more spiritual than others. Some days you're going to feel more victorious than others, but some days you're going to feel more of a loser than others, right? You're going to feel like, how could God ever save me? Maybe you fall to temptation or you give in and you sin and you think, well, God, maybe I'm not even saved anymore. And you might struggle through that, but I want to help you because I've got a lot here that I've pulled together that I think will help you. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. Now remember, these words given by inspiration of God, we saw this morning, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So these are the very words of God. He inspired them. They've been preserved for us. We saw this morning, every word of God is pure and that His words will endure forever. So verse number 13, these words are from God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You can know that. You can know that you are saved, and you don't have to doubt it. Brother Adam, I'm gonna jump to, I don't know if you marked where we left off. Can you do that? Okay, so I'm going to jump to where we left off. We left off in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, and there's not a whole lot after that, so we're going to go back forward to Romans again. There's some things that I want you to be able to base your salvation on. I believe we see this very clearly in the Bible. We can base our salvation on the promises of God, which we saw this morning. I hope that you can base your salvation on the presence of God, which we're going to see tonight. I hope you can base your salvation on your relationship with God, which we're going to see tonight from the Word of God. Then I hope you can base your relationship on God's description of eternal life. So I'm going to give you some verses. I'm going to give you God's words so that you can take them and you can say, yes, I've got the promise of God. I've got the presence of God. I've got this relationship with God. And this is what the Bible says about eternal life or about everlasting life. And whenever I look at all that, I don't have to worry about my eternity. After Christ ascended up into heaven, the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. I want you to consider this fact and consider this truth. The Spirit of God lives in you. This is hard to comprehend. We can say it, but it's hard to really to imagine this. In the beginning, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says He said it, and God said, let there be light. And God said, and everything came into existence. And that same God that created everything, the same God that made you. The Bible says when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He comes to live in you. The Spirit of God comes to live in you. That's just an amazing thought. To realize everywhere you go, God is there. Not just that He's there because God's everywhere, but God is there because He is in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And I want to give you some thoughts, and this is just an amazing truth, the presence of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says this, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." This is an amazing thing. When you get saved, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God moves in. He dwells in you. Your assurance can be based on the presence of God. John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." I want to talk about the Spirit of God just for a few moments. I'm going to give you some verses about the Spirit of God living in us. What an amazing thing that the Spirit of God will come and live in Christians. We saw that the Spirit of God lives in Christians. We see that the Spirit is our Comforter and God sent Him. Jesus sent Him to us. The very next verse, John 16, 8, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Listen to this. The Spirit of God convicts you of sin. Let me remind you that that God lives inside of you. The Spirit of God that lives inside of you will convict you of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 talks a little bit more about the Spirit of God. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." Another verse, the Spirit comes to dwell in the believer. "If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you." Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Bible says this, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We're talking about assurance. We're talking about knowing that we're saved. We're talking about this proof, this bearing witness that we are the children of God. Now, understand this. The Spirit of God lives in us, and He bears witness with our spirit. It's kind of like if two of you saw the same thing. Maybe two of you saw, you're driving down the road and you both see the same crash and both of you see it and you can both talk about it because you both saw the same thing. You're bearing witness with each other. You're talking about something that you witnessed. The Spirit of God lives in you and He bears witness with you and He bears witness about something very specific with you. And the Bible says here, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, that we are the children of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. The Bible talks about the Spirit as our earnest or our guarantee. The Bible says this, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. God gave you His Spirit and He lives inside of you. And He's your guarantee that God will redeem, as the Bible says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until that day when you are with God, you have God with you, bearing witness with your spirit. The relationship that you have with God can help you to understand your assurance. Your assurance should be based on the fact that you're part of the family of God. Now, these verses are awesome, and I'm going to try to give them to you quickly, but try to get them. If you want me to, I'll email these to you or get them. I want you to have these verses where you can go to them, you can look at them whenever you get a chance. If you can turn there, great. If you can't turn there fast enough, we'll put them on the screen for you. But I want you to be able to see these all from the Bible. And this is a different kind of message. I know I don't preach this kind of message a lot, but there's not a lot of stories and there's not a lot of funny things and jokes and things like that. But I'm trying to give you a bunch of Bible because I want you to understand that you can know that you are saved. And I want you to see why from these verses in the Bible. All right, the family of God, what a thought. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit, it's a capital S, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When we're talking about salvation, we're talking about, do I know I'm saved? How can I know that I'm saved? What does the Bible say about me being saved? When you got saved, you were adopted into the family of God. Is there anybody in here that was adopted? Anybody in here that was adopted? Miguel. All right. They're laughing. And there's probably an inside joke that I need to know about. But we'll find out later. All right. When you were adopted, what an amazing thing that is. It means you weren't part of the family before. But you were alive before. Then something happens that makes you part of the family. And the Bible says when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you get saved, you are adopted into the family of God. That means God is your Father. What an amazing thing that is. Now, this is so awesome when you realize the Bible tells me that God is my Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he says it again, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Those who trust in Christ are the sons and daughters of God. Talking about the relationship that you have as part of the family of God. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says this, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I got that one out of place. I'm sorry. This is a verse telling us that God cannot lie, and God promised us eternal life. It doesn't have to do with Him being our Father. It's a great verse. It's in the wrong part of my outline, though. All right? We'll probably come back to that one just a little bit. Listen to this. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he's talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen to these verses. We are born into the family of God when we get saved. When we get saved, we are adopted by God. He becomes our Father. Romans 8:15, the Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What a great verse. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Listen to this. You are adopted into God's family. God, these are the words of God. It's not just somebody that wrote this down and said, let me think of a good way to describe our warm, fuzzy feeling between us and God. No. This is God Himself writing these words down to say that when you got saved, you are part of God's family. You are adopted into His family. Your assurance can be based on the fact that you're part of the family of God. Your assurance can be based on the fact that eternal life is forever. I think this may be one of my favorites. Jump around here just a little bit, make sure I got everything in there. Want to make sure I didn't miss something I was going to give you. Okay, there we go. Look at John chapter 5. I think we may have time for you to turn to most of these now. So John chapter 5. Turn there. John chapter 5. We're coming in for our landing on this message here. You ready to come in for a landing? You know how preachers say that we're coming in for a landing, and then they circle the field a few times, and they're just like, come on, you said you're going to land this thing a while ago. Well, we're going to be in John for a few verses, so turn there. John chapter 5, verse 24. The fact that eternal life is forever. I love these verses. You put all of this together, and you realize, wow, I have got so much evidence from God Himself that shows me that because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am saved, I'm a child of God, I have eternal life, I'm part of the family of God. All of this together is such a powerful faith builder. John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Here's a great truth. The life that you now have is everlasting. Everlasting life doesn't start the moment that you die. Everlasting life starts the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me read that verse again. Verily, verily, truly, truly, or for sure, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. What a great truth that is. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 28. John 10, 28. You've probably seen these verses before. We're putting them all together to help you to understand that they can help you to be assured of salvation. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life. This is Jesus talking. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When I wrote these notes, I wrote them to myself, and I wrote this: the life I now have is everlasting. And then under that next verse, I wrote this: I will never perish. Can you say that? I mean, you don't have to say it right now, but could you, maybe you should. Let's say that right now. We'll wake up. I will never perish. I mean, think about that just for a minute. To perish means to die and to be separated from God in a place called hell. I will never perish. There's nothing that could happen in this life that would cause me to perish. There's nothing that could happen in the next life that could cause me to perish. There's nothing that I could do to undo what God did for me at salvation. I will never perish. What a great truth that is. But it gets even better, because in verse 29, verse 28, Jesus said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But in verse 29, he goes on and he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a thought this is. The life I have is everlasting. I will never perish. And no man is able to remove me from the hand of God. Wow. There's some verses in the Bible about the hand of God. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about how he measures the stars with the span of his hand. And just to think, I am in that hand. I'm in the hand of the Almighty God, and no man's able to remove me from God's hand. Can you find Romans chapter 8 and verse 38? Romans chapter 8, verse 38. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about nothing ever being able to separate us from God. Romans chapter 8, verse number 38. Give you just a moment to find that. Here it is. It's just a few pages, so I'm going to give you just a moment. This is the Apostle Paul writing. But I want you to remember something. Even though the Apostle Paul was writing this, whose words are these? These are the words of God. Remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here's God and His Word, and He's saying this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, says this: for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. That was a pretty exhaustive list. Nothing. He started out with the two biggest things, death and life. You can't really do much other than, I mean, what other options are there? Nothing. Whether it's life or death, or it's angels or fallen angels, principalities, powers, present things, future things, heights or depths, anything, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. So as I wrote these notes down, as I was studying this, and I wrote these personal notes down, I was looking at the date on it, and it was in 2004, 14 years ago, I remember, and I put these notes down, I wrote them down, and pulling them back out, and I thought, this is something I need. And here's what I wrote to myself. Wait, I turned to the wrong page. The life I have now is everlasting. I will never perish. No man is able to remove me from God's hand, and nothing can separate me from God's love. I'm glad I can say that, and I'm glad that you can say that. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, nothing can separate you from God's love. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9. These are great verses. These are great verses to help somebody understand that they get saved by faith. They get saved by God's grace, right? But this is also a verse to help you understand that you can't lose your salvation. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Here's what the Bible says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now you know these verses. What's that mean to me? Salvation is a gift from God. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Here's a realization you need to understand. Faith didn't save me. My faith didn't save me. God's grace saved me. but I obtained God's grace through my faith. My faith isn't what saved me. People have faith in all kinds of things, but that faith doesn't save them. It was God's grace that saved me, Jesus' blood that saved me. And so it wasn't anything that I did that got me salvation. And since I didn't have to do anything to get it, I can't do anything to keep it, and I can't do anything to lose it. This is a huge, huge truth that you need to understand. You didn't do anything to get salvation. You couldn't. What could you have done to earn your own salvation? None of us could have done anything. You didn't do anything to get it. And if you didn't do anything to get it, then there's nothing you can do to keep it, because you didn't get it in the first place. You understand that? And if there's nothing you can do to keep it, then there's nothing you could do that would cause you to lose it, because it's not you that's getting it, it's not you that's keeping it. It is God that gave it to you by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. What a great truth that is. You can't lose it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, if you'd find that. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, listen to this, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God finishes what he begins in us. What an amazing thing that was. Salvation is an instant thing. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are saved instantly. But you still have this sinful body. You still live in this sinful world. One of these days, Jesus is going to finish that job. God's going to finish that job that he began in us, and we will see him face to face. We will be in heaven forever with God. Do you have any projects that aren't finished that you started? I've got a few of those. In fact, I've got a lot. I probably have more projects that I've started and not finished than projects that I've finished. I don't know if that's personality type or what that is, or laziness, I don't know what it is, or just being too ambitious, I'm not sure. Something in there, I've got a lot of projects I've started and haven't finished. Did you realize you are a project that God started and he will finish? One of these days, you will be in heaven with God, and you have God's promise of this, on this being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look at our last verse for tonight. Our last verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Our last verse for tonight. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I am kept by the power of God. It says through faith, but the faith isn't what keeps me. It's the power of God that keeps me. What a great truth that is. Okay, here we go. Here's our conclusion. We're done. Assurance of salvation is not a feeling. Assurance of salvation is a fact. You have the promises of God in the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have a relationship to God that began, or with God, that began the day you got saved, and it will never end to give you the assurance of your salvation. Father, I pray that you would use your Word in these verses all throughout the New Testament to help us to understand that when we trust you as our Savior, we are saved. Lord, I hope that you can help people with the confidence going forward, that they don't have to worry that they're trusted the wrong thing, that maybe they didn't trust you completely or understand it completely. Lord, you've made it so clear to us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for our sins. And if we'll simply accept him as our Savior, we'll be saved. Lord, thank you for all these verses of assurance. Thank you for showing us so we don't have to worry about it. Thank you that you wrote these verses, as 1 John says, that we may know that we have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. And there's so many directions we could go with this. But Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Help us to be thankful for what you've done for us. But Lord, I pray that we would not stop with that, but we would tell somebody else about this wonderful thing of salvation. To think that there's a world around us that's not saved, and so many of the people around us will die and spend eternity in this place that is called hell, but we know the truth. We have what it takes to show them how to be saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us to share the gospel with somebody. I pray that you would use us in a powerful way to reach somebody else with this amazing salvation. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand what you've done for us. Give us grateful hearts. Give us thankful hearts. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us calm hearts and steadied hearts and confident hearts in your salvation.